Kanva Muni found her. Kanva Muni brought her to his ashrama, where he raised and maintained her. When Shakuntala accepted Marpanta as her husband, he married her according to the Gandharva Vidhi. Shakuntala later became pregnant by her husband, who left her in the ashrama of Kanva Muni and returned to his kingdom. In due course of time, Shakuntala gave birth to a Vaishnava son, but Dushmanta, having returned to the capital, forgot what had taken place. Therefore, when Shakuntala approached him with her newly born child, Maharaj Dushmanta refused to accept them as his wife and son. Later, however, after a mysterious omen, the king accepted them. After Maharaj Dushmanta's death, Bharata, the son of Shakuntala, was enthroned. He performed many great sacrifices in which he gave great riches in charity to the Brahmanas. This chapter ends by describing the birth of Bharadvaja and how Maharaj Bharata accepted Bharadvaj as his son. Shri Badaraya Niruvacha Purorvam Sampravakshyami Yatra Jato Sibharata Yatra Rajarshayo Vamsya Brahma Vamsyascha Jajnire Shivadarayani Ruvacha Purorvam Sampravakshyami Yatra Jato Sibharata Yatra Rajarshayo Vamsya Brahma Vamsyascha Jajnire Shivadarayani Ruvacha Purorvam Sampravakshyami Yatra Jato Sibharata Yatra Rajarshayo Vamsya Brahma Vamsyascha Jajnire. Just please. Shibadrayani Ruvacha. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Purovamsham, the dynasty of Maharaj Puru, Pravakshyami, now I shall narrate, Yatra, in which dynasty, Jatahasi, you were born, Abharata, O Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of Maharaj Bharat, Yatra, in which dynasty, Rajaryurshayaha, all the kings were saintly, Vamsyaha, one after another, Brahma Vamsyaha, many Brahmana dynasties, Ta, also, Jajnire, grew up. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of Maharaj Bharata, I shall now describe the dynasty of Puru in which you were born, in which many saintly kings appeared, and from which many dynasties of Brahmanas began. Purport. There are many historical instances by which we can understand that from Kshatriyas many Brahmanas have been born, and that from Brahmanas many Kshatriyas have been born. The Lord Himself says in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam gunakarma vibhagashaha. According to the three modes of material nature and the world work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. Therefore, regardless of their family in which one takes birth, when one is qualified with the symptoms of particular section, he is to be described accordingly. Yallakshanam proktam. One's place in a Varna division of society is determined according to the one's symptoms or qualities. This is maintained everywhere in the Shastra. Birth is a secondary consideration. The first consideration is one's qualities and activities. Omagyana chimarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshur nilthamina tasmai shri gurave namaha. Mukam karoti vachalam pangumlan gayate girim yat kripatamaham vande shri guru dinataranam. Shri guru paramananda premananda paprada vrajananda pradanam sivam nyonjaya. Ajamnulambita bujo kanaka vadato sankirtanai kapitaro kamalaya taksho vishvambaro dvijavaro yugadharma palo. Vande jagat priyakaro karunavataro. So, today, as you understood already from the verse, we're going to discuss the varnas. We'll discuss first theory, and then we're going to discuss some practical meaning, how we're going to apply it to ourselves, this varnas. So, first that came to my mind while reading that purport, one little story about, from the Vedas, about when one mother sent her child to the Gurukula, and he came to the teacher, to the guru, and guru was asking which caste you from. And he asked that boy, which caste you belong to? And the boy said, I don't know. So he said, then go and ask your mother. So he went to his home and asked his mother, which caste we belong to? And the mother said, you know, I had many men in my life. I don't know. I don't know which caste we belong to. So boy returned to his teacher and said, well, my mother doesn't know because she had a lot of men in her life. So, and the teacher, he understood. He said, you are Brahmana because you are honest. So we accepting you to my Gurukula. So that means it's only by qualities, not by birth, that we can understand which varna the particular person belong to. So in Bhagavad Gita, this verse 4:13, Krishna describes that he created these four varnas. And he actually created these varnas in order to make the person happy in his life. So there is four natures he created. So we know that Brahmanas, they under the influence of the mode of goodness. Kshatriyas under the mode of passion. And also Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explained in his commentary that actually Kshatriyas under influence of mixed gunas, goodness and passion. And Vaishyas, they under the passion and ignorance. And the Shudras under the ignorance mode. So Krishna said that I created these four varnas according to the nature of the person. And if the person discharges his duties according to his varna, then his nature, he can purify and he become perfect by discharging his duties in his varna. Right now we are talking about the ancient Vedic times. So, and when he is doing according to his varna, the harmony become flourishing in his heart. So he become harmonious within himself because he is happy. He is doing what he is doing. And Krishna said that he created these four natures, and actually, in our life, one and or the other nature is prevalent in our life. So even in our age, when everything is mixed up, all the varnas, there is no actually pure varnas right now. Nevertheless, in each person there is some dominating nature in each of us. And actually, if the person is acting in according to his nature, it is said that he become happy in his life, and he'll gain the harmony in his heart. So actually, whatever we're reading in the Shastras, we can apply to ourselves, because this is laws for the society, and this laws is the eternal laws from the Vedas. And when he's following his nature, he'll become peaceful and harmonious within himself. And he actually can make happy people who around him, his surroundings, because internally he is harmonious. And actually nowadays it's very hard to follow all these rules and regulation according to the varna, but at least we should try to do our best. And we should understand what all this meant to me. For example, if we will take the examples from the tradition ancient India, when we can see the example of pure Brahmanas, pure Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, they're perfect, they look very nice, they're doing their duties. So who is the Brahmanas, actually? The Brahmanas is those the quality or the nature of the Brahmanas is those people who interested only in studying the Vedas, in learning something, and they not interested in money. This is the first qualification of the Brahmana. So he's not interested in money. He only interested in knowledge. He in study the Vedas. He is happy by doing that. So Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter. He explained the qualities of the brahmanas. We know this verse, this famous verse. Shamo damo tapakshau cham kshanchar arjam eva cha jnanam vijnanam astikyam jnana brahma karma svabhava jam. This is qualities of the brahmanas. So the shama means the brahmanas, they control their mind. Dharma, they control their senses. Tapa, so they're performing austerities. Shaucham, they're clean. Shaucham, Kshantir, they're tolerant. Arjavam, they're honest, etc., etc. They're knowledgeable, religious. So, please tell me, can we earn money by doing these duties? There is no even hint on that, how we can earn the money. If we just simply clean, can we earn some money? No, so Krishna is kind of laughing at us. Not at us, at brahmanas. Because they don't need money. They're happy by controlling their mind, controlling their senses, they're studying the Vedas. So they're happy, they don't need money actually. So this is a qualification of the brahmana. Actually, everything comes to him if he follows his brahminical dharma. He doesn't need much, actually. We're talking about ancient Vedic traditional time when the brahmana can go to the field and pick up some grains from the fields. And he'll eat a little bit, cook, eat, and then return back to studying shastras again. And he's happy and his nature is flourishing, he's harmonious within himself. So this is a brahmana. There is a story about one brahmana that the brahmana had, he married somehow or other, and he was studying the Vedas day and night, happily studying. And one night he was studying, it was dark, he was studying, and the candle was burning next to him. He was reading the Vedas. So one time he was reading the Vedas and all of a sudden the candle, burned down. So it became dark. And the brahmana, he was so upset with that because he didn't know where to get the candles, where to get the giviks, where to get light. So he didn't know anything. So he, in the darkness, he started searching for something. And he got some noise, something fell off. And at that time, his chaste wife was sleeping. So she woke up understanding that something was wrong with her husband. And she understood that he needed to change his candle to study the Vedas. So she did everything, so she brought the new candle, light it up, and when she lighted up, the brahmana first time saw his wife and said, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" So he totally forgot that he had a wife. he completely merged into the studying these shastras, that he forgot his material life. So this is a brahmanas. And the other way, in shastras, it is said that the brahmanas, when they become sold to somebody, actually we know from the Mahabharata when Dronacharya, Ashwatthama, Kripacharya, brahmanas, they were fighting. They actually sold out their dharma. Break their dharma by doing somebody other's duties of the kshatriyas. And from that actual degradation of the brahmanas began. They sold out to Duryodhana and they took shelter under him. So they become selfless. So they actually the definition of the Brahmanas should become independent, independent, and especially in their financial situation, should be independent on anybody. This is a real Brahmana. Only by doing this, he can maintain his spiritual knowledge. Otherwise, if he will be just flattering to his master. We also know this recent story, a recent example of the Chanakya Pandit. He actually helped Maharaj Chandragupta to become a king, and he helped him in all the way to become the king. But anyway, when Chandragupta become a king, he asked Chanakya Pandit, "You can please come to my palace and live with me." And he said, "No, I don't want. I have my little hat over there, and I will live in that little house." So this is an example of independent Brahmana. And also, there is another story about, also it happened about 200 years ago, about one Brahmana from Kashmir. And this Brahmana, he was very learned Brahmana. He actually wrote the commentary purport to the Panini grammar. Panini grammar, Sanskrit grammar, is very, need to be very learned in order to write commentary. So this Brahmana, he was living in Kashmir, and he was very famous for whole India. So once hearing about this great Brahmana, the Brahmanas from Benares, from Kashi, they decided to get his darshana. So he came to see him, and he saw him, and they noticed that this great learned Brahmana, and they was shocked, surprised, how this Brahmana was living in such a poor condition. He hardly have anything. Hardly have even anything, but he had greatly learned professor, learned Brahmana. So after they took darshan of him, they went to the king of that kingdom in which this Brahmana was living. So they was talking with him, and they mentioned to him that, you know, in your kingdom there is one Brahmana living, the great genius Brahmana. And we saw how very poor condition he lives. You have to do something with that. And the king was very happy to help, to know this, and he went to this Brahmana and said, and as soon as this Brahmana saw him, he said, "Why did you come? What do you want from me?" So he said, "You know, it's shame on me," this king said, "that you, such a poor Brahmana living in my kingdom." And the Brahmana said, "You know, if it's shame on you, it's no problem. In 30 minutes I can pack up my things and go to another kingdom. It's no problem." He said, "No, no, I didn't mean that. I just meant that you have to think about your livelihood. It's hard to get for you something just even to eat." He said, "Who told you that? I never thought about that. Every day something. I go to the field, pick up some grains, and I have few disciples. They always bring me something, so I have no worries about anything." He said, "No, no, I didn't mean that even. Can I give you something? Maybe some gold, some money?" He said, "No, you know, if I'm Brahmana, if you give me something, I will start thinking to increase this money, to buy something. Then I will be upset if they go away, so better not give, I don't want anything." He said, "Please, please take, it's because it's shame on me, you're living in my..." He said, "If you insist, I will go to another kingdom and nobody will disturb me." So the king kneeled down to his feet, to his knees, and said, "Please, no, I will not insist, just at least stay in my kingdom." So this is example of independence of the Brahmanas. They don't depend on even king. They can do any, because if they dependent, they will, their spiritual knowledge will leak away from them. And actually, this is the example. And actually, the people, they expect from the spiritual people to maintain this high standard. And if they a little bit lower than that standard, the faith in that people will be hurt, and they're not going to believe these people who are not following their dharma properly. And this actually happened in Russia in 1917. If you know the history, the revolution was happened under the guidance of Mr. Lenin. So this is because, you know, the one person, he wrote a book about analyzing the causes why this revolution happened. Because, you know, before that revolution, there was aristocracy, there was intelligent class of men, there was merchant, there was a tsar, and there was a regular workers. But the main point why this revolution began, when the people become, they saw that the spiritual people, they didn't follow what they're saying. They didn't, there was, and they were revolved against these people, and they started the movement, new movement, Shudras movement, that become prominent under the guidance of Lenin. And this is actually destroyed all this system and becomes revolution. And as you know, communism would start it after that for 70 years. So, and who is the Vaishyas? Now, the Vaishyas is those who like to donate, and those who are religious people. And actually, the main quality of the Vaishyas, religious, plus they like Brahmanas, they love Brahmanas, they respect Brahmanas, and they serve Brahmanas. This is a Vaishyas. So another example is the Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas, who is the real, what's the real characteristic of the Kshatriya? There is, in the Vedas, there is a story about when all the kings of all the Bharatavarsha, they came to the Manu who wrote all, who was, you know who the Manu is. At that time, he was living as an ascetic in a forest. He already renounced. He took vanaprastha. So these kings came all over the India to ask Manu about the duties of the ruler. Who is the ruler? Which qualities he should have in order to become a real kshatriya? So Manu started to explain what qualities the real kshatriya must have. And he said that he's a hero, he's a selfless, he's always ready to sacrifice himself, he's doing all kinds of austerities, and he's very renounced, and he can give his life to his dependents. So he started to explain all kinds of, a lot of qualities of the kshatriyas. And he saw that in the minds and in the hearts of all these kings, was the more he talked, the more sad they become, because they notice that they don't have such a great qualities of the kshatriyas. And one king, he asked, but is you explain all the duties of the kshatriya, but is any privileges for the king? What's the privileges of the kshatriya? And he said, yeah, there is one privilege for the kshatriya, that those who see that great kshatriya, they bow down in awe reverence before him. This is the only privilege for the kshatriya. So actually, nobody prohibited to become Kshatriya or a Brahmana. You're welcome to become Kshatriya and Brahmana, but you have to have such qualities of the Kshatriya and Brahmana. Who wants to become Brahmana? who wants to become Kshatriyas? These are examples. But actually, the most privileges the Shudras have, actually. They don't have any duties much. They just marry, have a fun, get their salary and spend their money, whatever they like. So this is a system, Vedic system, Varnashrama system is explained that if you follow your dharma, your duty, according to your nature, everything will come to you. It is said, dharma rakshati rakshitaha. If the person follows his dharma, the dharma will protect him. Now, if we can look in the nowadays picture, we can see that this is old-fashioned and it's not applicable to us. Because ultimately, everybody needs money only. If you get money, you don't need any, you will become happy. And actually, if we'll try to follow the brahmana's duty, if we go to the field to get some grains, we will not find any grains there. Plus to that, we will get shot by trespassing others' property. So this is right now is the age in which Arjuna told about when he talked about Varna Sankara, that every will be mixed up, Varna Sankara. So the Sanskrit word Varna means color, the color. And if we will mix up all the Varnas, it will become very hard to live in this society, because nobody will be happy. Everybody will try to do anything they want, and ultimately, as a result, nobody will be happy, because everybody is trying to go up, to take up somebody else's position, not their own. You know, there is in his little book, the Karl Marx. You know, Karl Marx, German philosopher, he said that actually the India is only exception, that there was no revolution, never before, revolutions before. Because everybody was happy. You know, Brahmanas was happy, Shudras were happy, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, everybody were happy. And nobody were trying to become somebody else. Take somebody else's position. They just following their duty, their varna, and everybody was happy. And actually, what changed the situation when the British came, and they said, you know, they told to Shudras, you know, you're doing your hard work, but see that people, they just thinking and they just they doing nothing. They just enjoying, showing the brahmanas. And the Shudras start thinking, oh, yeah, we're working hard. So they start thinking, you know, and from that, become revolution and everything, something like that. So they change all the situation. So why is that? Is that consciousness? Because the consciousness in mind of the people is consciousness of hierarchy. Hierarchy that goes up, and because they think in this consciousness, if somebody is higher than me, I have to reach that person also to become equal with him, the same as nowadays, you know, all the women trying to become equal with men, you know, they're trying to become like a man, and they, in order to prove that they equal with men, they're wearing what they're wearing. They're wearing jeans in order to, that nobody will have a doubt that they're equal with a man. But what's the stance behind all this consciousness? What's the time to become equal? What's the meaning of that? Because they're thinking that the men higher, the men better. Otherwise, why they should become equal with men if they already women? If they already have a nature of the women, why they would want to become men, like men, and imitating men? So as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the following dharma of others is dangerous. Even to perform the dharma of their own dharma is unperfect, is better than perfectly others' dharma. So this is Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So only because of this foolish consciousness that somebody is higher than the other, all this unhappiness takes place. And you know, before in India, nobody was thinking that the Brahmanas higher than the Shudras. Nobody was thinking that the Kshatriyas was lower than the Brahmanas. There was no such a consciousness. Everybody was happy doing their duties. And you will become happy doing your duty by your nature, who you are. And if you can achieve perfection by doing that. There is a book about this consciousness also. There is a guru management, you know, the guru of the management. He explains in his book what's the reason when the corporation get destroyed, all the corporation destroyed, big corporations. Ultimately, they got destroyed. And he explained in that book, he explained in the book that this is a level of incompetence. This is Guru Management. His name is Peter Lawrence. He named this principle of level of incompetence. When he said that in a corporation, when the people got promoted higher and higher and higher and higher and higher and higher, up to that level, that the people, they don't understand that this is their position and they don't know how to do that, to do this duty in the high top manager, you know, if they just been promoted up to that level, that they don't know what to do, and they, you know, after that the corporation destroyed. And this is actually applicable to our society. Everybody think that they're lower, and we have to go up to that point when we don't understand what to do. This is the nowadays society. And this is not good. So, as I said in the beginning, that Sanskrit word varna means color, and the color. If we mixed up all the colors, what will happen? All the colors, the artists, if we mixed everything, it will become color of the dirt, you know, this gray color, if we mixed all the colors. So ultimately, when all the varnas mixed up, nobody will be happy. Nobody will understand what to do. So this is varna sankara, when everything is mixed up. Okay, and it's very hard to change all this society, but at least we have to understand our own nature, who we are, who I am. If I understand that I am a Shudra, it's not a bad, actually. Ultimately, nowadays in Kali Yuga, the Shudras is majority, right? And actually, the Shudra Varna is the best, you know. If we will see on this Varna, Shudra Varna, without any Brahminical prejudice, that, you know, the Brahmanas, they're actually, but even real Shudras does not exist. Everything is Varna Sankara, and, you know, everybody is untouchable. Who is the Shudra? What is the quality of the Shudra? Shudra, those who likes to work, those who like to surf, and those who are very shy and respectful people, they respect everybody, and they serve everybody. And if they serve everybody, they're happy, you know. And if you serve everybody, it's easier to become who? To become a devotee. We are servants, you know. And actually, the Shudra wants what he wants. He doesn't need a second initiation to become Brahmana or think about. He just needs to get initiation and get the last name Dasa, you know. The Dasa actually, as we know, the Dasa is the last name of the caste of Shudras. So as soon as we get initiation in our Sampradaya, we get initiation to caste of Shudras. So we're all Shudras. So we're trying to, yeah. This is, of course, everybody wants to become Brahmana. I want to become Brahmana, but I don't have a memory. I don't like to learn shlokas. I don't like to follow Brahminical culture. So better to have my own duty to do, because, and everybody think, let me go become Brahmanas. Let me become Brahmana, because Brahmana is the higher. So I want to become Brahmanas, but Brahmana is not higher. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya is not higher. The higher is those who to do their own duty. Those who are doing their duty, they are higher of those who are not doing their duty. This is the highest. This is the essence. And if we're doing our duty selflessly, it is said, Krishna said, that if we're doing our own duty selflessly, then we're raising up the level up above this, all this Varna ashrama. We become more higher than Brahmanas, Kshatriya, Vaishya. We become Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas is higher than the Brahmanas. If we can read the great book of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, which he explained was the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, he explained in his book why Vaishnavas is higher than the Brahmanas. So Vaishnavas is when we are doing selflessly our duty, we become above this. Because ultimately this Varna Ashrama is a material platform. Brahmanas, Kshatriya, Vaishya is material. It doesn't belong to me as a soul. Not at all. We as the spirit soul, we're much higher than this Varna Ashrama. The only thing we have to cultivate is the desire to serve others, and the most important thing, to serve God. It is said that serving to Krishna is give birth to the prema, and prema give birth to the service. So, and actually, if we do in our service, if we do our duty, then we can easily also do our spiritual practice very easily without any hindrances. And we can chant Hare Krishna, and our mind will not be disturbed. So ultimately we shouldn't think that we have to become Brahmanas or somebody else, because, you know, Shukracharya, he was also Brahmana, but he's not Brahmana that we want to become. And many demons were also Brahmanas. So our goal to become a devotee of the Lord, this is should be our goal. And when our day will come, when we have to leave our body, at that time if I discharge my duty as a real Brahmana, lived in austerity and like ascetic, I will go to the spiritual world happy. I will have no any illusion about this material world, and I will enter in the spiritual world happy, in this our eternal condition of eternal servant of the Lord, eternal Shudra in the spiritual world, and we will be happy to have this name, such and such Dasa. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your patience. I don't know if have somebody any questions or comments. Vikram.
Hari Bol. As Srila Prabhupada wants all his disciples or all the devotees to develop Brahminical qualities, mm-hmm. but not necessarily like the caste conscious Brahmanas, but you know, Brahminical qualities like knowledge of the scriptures, cleanliness, austerity, things like this, and these mm-hmm. are essential qualities, and so that is important, and that's the spiritual master's instruction, you know, Phongdacharya. Mm-hmm. You hint about some other points. You were talking about women wearing pants and stuff like that. It's stated in Kali Yuga, the society would become casteless. That's one. It would become eventually also raceless. You wouldn't be able to distinguish between white and black and so, because all would be amalgamating, mixing. And women who usually are subservient to their husband, they would be on top. They would be like, you know, they'd be like the ruling class in Kali Yuga eventually, mm-hmm. see? So all these things would happen. But of course, within Krishna consciousness, because devotees understand these the falls of Kali Yuga, we don't indulge in these kind of in these things, and you know, the women, at least they know their role, and the men know their role, the devotees, you know, we all know our role really, and we don't get caught up in these things. But this thing would happen in this secular society. Mm. See, they would all Thank happen.
Just one point. I was reading yesterday, and Prabhupada had translated this verse where it talked about the supreme satisfaction. So I wondered which word was the Sanskrit for the supreme satisfaction, and it was dira. Dira. Generally, dira is used in a different way, you know, like sober or self-realized. They translate it differently. Dira, tata, muyate. But it mentioned self-satisfied. So then also, atma supersiyati, you were mentioned about how if a Brahmin's not satisfied, then all his knowledge leaks out just like a pot that has a crack in it, a crack mm-hmm. pot. Yeah. That's also a pun. Anyway, it was just an interesting thing that he's, how Prabhupada, the supreme satisfaction is the dira.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mother mm-hmm. Mahamaya?
It's a nice class, but I do have to say something about that remark about women wanting to become like men.
It sounds delicate.
Well, the thing is that men have this idea that this is true. And the reality, at least in ISKCON, is that women just want to be women. And when they started the women's ministry, what did they accomplish? They got the GBC to agree that women should have room in the temple room to chant japa, that they have the right to do service. I mean, who would deny that this is important? But why do they have to make that rule? Because it's not happening. The temples are not even allowing that. So, you know, and then after they made these decisions, then a group of men decided that this women's ministry was, you know, like what you were expressing, that it's, you know, the women just want to be superior and it should be crushed. And the women had, you know, a large group of women came to the GBC meeting several years ago to deal with that opposition. And so many women spoke. I mean, the main thing that women's ministry does is deal with abuse. Like when there's cases of abuse, somebody has to represent ISKCON. And that's what the women's ministry, that's one of the things women's ministry has done. So it's like somehow, because there's been such a disconnect between men and women in society, in ISKCON society, we've come to just battle each other instead of being harmonious. And that's what works. You know, being harmonious, like women have something to contribute and men have something to contribute. And if we can acknowledge that amongst ourselves, things will go so much smoother. Like I've noticed that on the top level of management, the GBC, we have two women now on the GBC. Okay, but there's somebody quoted as a study that was done about successful men, and you know, like all successful men had this one quality, which was they actually took advice from their wives. And if we could just learn that that's that the women's viewpoint is actually going to assist the man, it's going to be valuable.
Yeah, this is their nature. They have to follow their nature, that's all.
Well, everybody has, the men and the women, but I'm just saying, if, you know, really we should study what's a harmonious society and go, you know, towards that direction instead of...
Yeah, unfortunately, we shouldn't look at this secular society of women right now. We have to look in our traditional, you know, Vedic society. This is, yeah. Should be.
Yeah, there's a big difference. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Premananda Prabhu, you want to say something?
Hari Om Prabhu. First of all, I want to make an announcement that I'm a Sudra and I'm looking for a Vaishya in Alachua so I can be a happy Sudra working in Alachua.
It's really high position it. Because everybody's lower than Sudras.
So if there is any Vaishya out there looking for a Sudra, you know, to make some money in Alachua, here is Premananda Gaur is looking for that. Also, I wanted to say that my Guru Maharaj told me one time that women is the intelligence in marriage.
Women what?
Is the intelligence in marriage. Mm. Mm-hmm. And I feel that until we don't realize that we supposed to take care of the women like Srimati Radharani's consorts, because that's who they are, they're devis. Yeah. And until we don't see that the propensity for controlling in our main body instead of servant, mm-hmm. take that controlling attitude that we have and see them as superior, mm-hmm. which I think they are in my case.
Mm. No, we shouldn't look superior, inferior. It's our nature, their nature.
Well, you see, as according, because you know, this is something that happened to me. In the Veda says that the man is the guru of the wife, but in my life, my wife is my guru.
Mm. Yeah, it's higher.
My first wife, you know, she was my guru. She showed me how to live this body in Krishna consciousness.
Not very advanced.
And now, my second wife is tolerating me and trying to help me too. So, I just wanted to say that unfortunately, because Srila Prabhupada has never, I mean, that's my own realization since I was a kid, because I've been reading Prabhupada's books since I was 12 years old. And Srila Prabhupada has never put women down. It's just the people in those days, you know, that they used to do all that chauvinistic stuff, and it still exists, that, you know, they put women in the secondary level. But I was reading the other day the life of Mother Yamuna. You know, I mean, who is Mother Yamuna? Who, you know, I mean, you know, we listen to her every day and Srila Prabhupada allowed, yeah. But there were devotees in those days that they were disturbed by a voice of a woman, you know, so Srila Prabhupada was completely transcendental to that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I like the way you finish the class, because actually, you know, we are just servants of Krishna. We just serve Krishna.
It's much higher than all that. Men, women, and varnas. Exactly. It's much higher. The Vaishnava is higher than all this material consideration. We actually, in the spiritual world, we're all women. I mean, it's female nature we have.
I feel that if our society concentrated more in women than children, we will flourish 10 times faster than what we're doing right now. So anyway, I just wanted to
say
that.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.